You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
53-ish more minutes of the Rob Brown Show, and then we are done for a Tuesday. So let's just absolutely rip, rock, and roll through those 53 minutes. Welcome back, people. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show, live on the Fan Upstate. Got a couple of stories that I wanted to get to here on the radio program today. I yesterday talked about, and I'm not going to stay on NASCAR for very long here, but I do have a couple of things that I wanted to bring up after the weekend's all-star race at North Wilkesboro Speedway. Couple of things. Number one, I am absolutely down if this sport decides that it wants to add one or two legitimate short tracks. I am talking quarter mile. Let's spin that thing around the quarter mile 250,000 times. Let's just have a day. Let's have full contact, whatever. I am so down for that. Those true old-fashioned local short track races are the best. But it does also, in the same breath, highlight what I think is a problem for NASCAR right now. What I think is a problem right now is that NASCAR has, for the first time in a very long time, become a sport that I am going to say is getting away from its roots too much. It's gotten too far away from the things that NASCAR grew with. And when I say grew, I mean in the last handful of years. I'm not talking about like dating back to the moonshine running days. I'm not talking about back to the day where NASCAR stock car teams quite literally took a stock car and then built it themselves in their own garage and raced it. NASCAR has become a sport, and I mean this, that has, I think, become everything that was the reason that NASCAR was popular back in the day. What do I mean by that? It used to feel like NASCAR was kind of this, to some degree, almost rebellious sport. It was this unique, niche thing that either you were in it and you loved it, or you weren't. And now I am very much pro inclusion of everyone in the world of sports. I think more people, more voices, more fans, more opinions is good for everybody. I am not talking about increasing the diversity of fans. I'm saying you increased your diversity of fans because you got to a point where guys like Michael Jordan were getting involved. Guys like Alvin Kamara were getting involved in NASCAR. And this was only a couple of years ago. And you had cars that were as fast as they could be, you know, with the exception of putting restrictor plates on them. You had cars that were as fast as they could be. and you had guys that were slamming these cars into each other on big open tracks, and it was creating chaos. And that is something that, even though I like NASCAR for the racing, not the crashing, although the crashes are sometimes an added benefit of that, it was contact. It was a physical sporting event or competition, whatever you want to call it. I actually argue that NASCAR does meet Diesel's definition of sport, which is somebody's got to play defense. You play defense in a NASCAR. You block people in a NASCAR. So I do think that it was, for a while there, one of the most compelling, entertaining, and engaging sports. It was niche. You had to get people into it to see what it was all about. You had to get people to experience it, but it was that. Now it's gotten to a point where I genuinely think NASCAR is so concerned with the image, with the money, with the corporatization of the product, that it has taken away from the elements of the race that made the races good in the first place. I think you've gotten to a point where these cars are so heavily regulated and it is so expensive to keep them regulated that we don't want contact anymore. I got to tell you, man, like watching cars come three wide out of turn four at Talladega, watching guys drive literally door to door, not next to each other, but like their door bumping into the door of the next guy, that was exciting. That was thrilling. That was exhilarating. We don't do that anymore. Watching these cars damn near lift off the ground when they came around a turn and it flattened out because they had so much speed, and now we're doing everything and we can and everything that we can to create uniformity that we have taken away from the feel of the power of these cars. I think it's made it worse. At the race on Sunday, the All-Star race on Sunday, they did the next step in what I think is a negative turn for a sport that I will acknowledge I am not a lifelong fan of. I didn't go to my first NASCAR race until probably 2014, 13. I started watching it in college, but I just really kind of enjoyed it. It wasn't anything I went out of my way for. I went to my first race at, actually, I lied. My first race was at Atlanta in 2008, 2009. Kurt Busch won that race. And a dear friend of mine from back home, who I watched NASCAR with, but didn't love it, she, for my birthday, bought me tickets and took me to go see the race in Atlanta. And even though that race was boring as hell because it was old cookie cutter Atlanta, where it was like every 2.5 seconds a car would come by and they just got all spread out and it ended up being 30 cars equidistant from each other driving in circles. Because once they got stopped impacting each other with the airflow, with the draft and all that, once all that started or stopped, because these cars started separating, then they all got to the exact, it was kind of boring. But seeing it up close in person, hearing the cars, being able to, sitting about 10 rows off the fence right at the start-finish line, feel the wind off of these cars as they went by, buddy, I got hooked. I was all in. Went to my first Talladega race a couple of years later. Even better, because that race was chaos. Enamored. It was unbelievable. I loved it. And I've been hooked ever since. So I want this sport, and I will call it a sport, to be great. I want it to be as good as it can be, and I feel like we are absolutely going in the wrong direction. At the All-Star race this weekend, we can talk about the finish between Christopher Bell and Joey Logano all that we want. But late in the race, they introduced something that has been discussed at NASCAR for a very long time, but, and I will at least give him credit for trying it at the All-Star race and not in the real race, although the real credit would be, that's dumb, we're not doing that. They introduced, Zoe, I want your gut reaction to this, a sponsor's competition caution. not a competition caution at a mark spot, right? We're going to tell the boys, all right, at lap 175 of 200, we're throwing a competition caution. That's going to allow everybody to make some final adjustments, if they want, to their rig so that the end of the race is compelling. No. A sponsor's competition caution was literally the chairman of the business that was the title sponsor for that race. At any point within the last whatever percentage of the race he wanted to, the chairman of the sponsor, not a NASCAR guy, not France, not the France family, the sponsor of the CEO of the sponsor, the business sponsor in the race, could at any given point go, I'd like you to stop the race right now, please. So he could have his favorite driver and wait for the most advantageous spot for that driver and go, caution, and they stop the damn race because the owner of the business sponsor in the race decided, that's this moment, this lap right now, this is when I want that caution.
Do we know this has never happened before?
That I have been able to find, not at the NASCAR level.
It doesn't make you question that possibly other cautions in the past has been the same thing, and it just wasn't as publicized?
Not a sponsor caution. Now, we have had what they call competition cautions. NASCAR has, for a number of years, been accused of throwing up debris cautions when there's like a little piece of rubber in the road. Because one of the things that NASCAR does not like to have is a final lap where the winner's 3.5-4 seconds out front of the second place guy, and there's it's over, right? This race has been over for 7, 8, 9 laps. They want to group them up late so that they create a possibility of there being a race to the checkered flag, there being some drama down the stretch. Because I will say, even as a guy who loves NASCAR, if it is a race like I went to at Atlanta, and again, it was my first race in Atlanta, so it felt different. But if there is a race like my first one at Atlanta, where all the cars are 2.5 seconds apart from each other, it's meow, 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 and that's the last 10 laps. I can get up and leave early. There's no sense in me being here. I'm not going to see anything happen. But if you can throw a caution late in the race, group the cars back up, give them an opportunity to draft off each other, give guys who need them an opportunity to go get some fresh tires, give guys who were going to definitely run out of gas the opportunity to go fill up on Sunoco race fuel. You give these guys a chance to tune their car up a little bit. Now we got a dramatic ending. That's good for the entertainment value of the product. I'm not going to argue with that. But when you openly tell race fans that some business guy, by way of being a CEO of a company that is sponsoring the race, has direct and total control over its outcome by being able to throw a caution whenever he wants within this race, which means he can wait till a spot where maybe his favorite driver is on tires that's 2-3 laps older than the leader. He's never going to catch that guy. But if I throw the caution right now, he can get those fresh tires and have enough time left in the race to maybe catch up to the guy that's now going to be the guy that's on older tires. Or maybe I just found out because I'm listening to a scanner, my driver, my pit crew chief just told his driver, hey, man, you got to ease up on the throttle because we're going to run out of gas at this pace. I go, wait a minute. If I call the caution now, he can come in and fill up on gasoline. And now he's got gas to finish the race, right? Like, some guy, by way of being a CEO of a big company that has enough money to sponsor a NASCAR race, now has an opportunity to throw a caution flag when and wherever he wants that will directly impact the outcome of the race itself. I just have a problem with it. I understand wanting to try gimmicks. We talked about gimmicks a lot the last couple of days. I am not anti-gimmick in sport. I am anti-gimmick that is obviously a bad one, right? I am fine with trying out gimmicks in your All-Star game, either for the sake of the All-Star game, right? Putting stakes on it, making it more entertaining, whatever. Putting stakes on it, making it more entertaining, something to enhance the entertainment value of the All-Star game. Most of which, with the exception of Major League Baseball's and the Four Nations face-off in hockey, most of which, let's be real, aren't all that engaging. I'm a big Pro Bowl guy because I like watching the biggest freaks in nature do freaking nature things, but I also understand I am in a vast minority. There are very few of us that love the flag football Pro Bowl. Very few of us. Most people hate it. So, I'm fine with gimmicks. I'm fine with gimmicks being utilized in the All-Star game, whether it is for the All-Star game or to legitimately test that gimmick out for the purposes of repackaging it to make it a part of the sport moving forward. However, this one feels dumb. To allow just some guy to have that level of influence over the race, all it says to me is you are kissing the butt of a rich guy who makes you a few million bucks. You are kissing his rear end and giving him an influence sense of entitlement and power so that you can keep making money off of him. Which, granted, is business. We've all had to smooch a little patootie every now and then to get ahead. I know, you know, we know. That's fine.
You should nip that in the butt.
You should nip that in the butt. We have all had to kiss a little patootie of somebody that we don't really like because that person had the power to help us advance our careers or whatever. That's fine. Your NASCAR, the integrity of the sport is the value of the sport, right? If it ever comes out, which I don't think it will, but if it ever comes out, if anybody ever brings empirical evidence to the table that say hypothetically the NBA draft is definitely rigged, the NBA ratings are going to tank. There'll still be people who watch it. I'll still watch it.
Have you watched the Shaq video?
I have watched the Shaq video. I heard it. Shaq basically said that David Stern, who was the commissioner of the NBA at the time that he got drafted, came up to him at a party and was like, would you rather play where it's hot or it's cold? He said, where it's hot. And Stern said, I got you, winked and walked away. Shaq obviously got drafted to Orlando. That's not proof to me. I'll tell you what is, though. Orlando was 2 years old. They had Penny Hardaway. They needed a big man. They had like a 1.8% chance to win the number one overall pick. Would you look at that? The Orlando Magic, who need a big man, get the number one overall pick in a draft where Shaq is in the draft. I actually, that to me is evidence that it is, not the Stern thing. But regardless of all of that, if it ever came out, if somebody ever came to the table with behind the scenes video evidence of Adam Silver saying, hey, put the Mavs ball, put some weight in it so it bounces out first so we can get that one, we can find it, the NBA ratings would tank because most of us do still want some integrity to the game. And if NASCAR is going to allow the integrity of a race, and again, it's the all-star race, so it's not a big deal. But if they ever decide, you know what, we really like it, and we're going to make that a part of our regular schedule races, all you're telling me is the sponsors kissing their butt and getting their paycheck is more important than the integrity of your sport. And if that's the case, what the hell is the point of me watching? Because there's no fair outcome, in which case I'm not interested anymore. That would suck a lot. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, it is good to work at a radio station where everybody is on the same page, which, to be honest, has not been my experience for most of my career. But it is good to work at a radio station where everybody's on the same page, because I did have written down on my prep sheet for the day a conversation that I dabbled on but did not stay with yesterday. And that is the WNBA, which had its opening weekend this weekend, had a couple of games. Paige Bueckers made her debut for the Dallas Wings on Friday. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese both started their season in continuing their, and I'm going to air quote, rivalry, but continued their rivalry when Indiana and Chicago played on Saturday afternoon. And in that game, if you missed it, which if you've been watching any sports highlight shows for the past 2 days, you have seen it. There was a Chicago possession where Angel Reese ended up with the basketball, a free look at the basket, and out of nowhere comes Caitlin Clark, who swats at the ball, but wraps up Angel Reese, spins her around, lets her go. The momentum ultimately carries Angel Reese to the floor. She is knocked out. Well, after she is knocked down to the floor, she got up, and I will say, and something I don't do very often, defend Angel Reese in this spot, went after Caitlin Clark, which, understandable, honestly. She got thrown to the floor. Yes, it was, to me, it was also just a common take foul. It was just a common foul. But she did get wrapped up, and she did get thrown to the floor. So I really don't have an issue with Angel Reese going after Caitlin Clark. That being said,
should she try to fight after every foul?
No, this one was definitely not a... this wasn't just a slap on the wrist on the way by to a layup foul. She wrapped her up and threw her down. Right?
Yeah, I've seen it a bunch of times, and it's not the way you're saying it.
How would you describe it?
I'm watching it now. She does come across with an arm, mm-hmm. and the arm hits her, and she flops down.
You don't think she's wrapped up?
No. I'm looking at it right now. Not wrapped up. Wrapped up, you have to put both hands around, and both arms are not around.
I am fine. Subjectively, I am fine with Angel being a little bit heated about that foul. I don't think that was just a run-of-the-mill, I swatted at the ball, I caught a hand foul. I mean, it was definitely a little bit more egregious than a swatted an open layup foul. Like, it was a hard foul. Not Again, not like anything I would have thrown a tech up on, not anything I would have, you know, handed an extra punishment out to Caitlin Clark in-game or after. It was a tough foul, but it wasn't anything more than like a, you're not getting an uncontested layup. Like, you're not getting a free two. You want this one, you're going to the stripe to earn it. I'll risk a personal foul to stop you from the freebie.
Happens in the NBA all the time.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
And had the same thing happen to, and I'll even use an example of extremism here, had the same thing happen to Draymond, and Draymond got up ready to go, even with the legacy and reputation of Draymond Green, I'd have been like, yeah, I get it. I get it. If that happened to me at the Y, I'd come up like, bro, what are we doing here? It's pick up ball, right? I don't have an issue. The point of it is, regardless of how you feel about the foul, I really didn't take issue with Angel Reese coming up heated and wanting to have a word with Caitlin Clark in that moment. That being said, Diesel, during the sports flash there, the wire-to-wire sports flash, wire-to-wire you can hear every afternoon from 3 to 7 with Diesel and Cole Bryson, a.k.a. Cole Bryan and Kerosene here on this very radio station. Diesel said the WNBA is leaning into this rivalry in a way that the NBA no longer leans into its heavy rivalries. Now, the continuation to that take from Diesel would be personal rivalries, not team v team, because I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, when the Pacers-Knicks series starts up, you would better believe the NBA, every freaking break, is going to show Reggie Miller hitting the choke sign to Spike Lee.
This is the first series this year that I'm in the playoffs that I can't wait to watch.
100%.
And I'm not a big fan of either team, but I want to watch because I know the history of it, and all the players know the history of it, too.
Yeah. This is a rivalry, and you better believe the NBA is going to lean into it. What the NBA does not do, and I actually agree with Diesel on this take, the NBA does not embrace player v player rivalries. I agree with that. They don't.
They don't have to, though.
I
mean, they don't. The WNBA needs to. The NBA doesn't.
I would say that despite the fact that the reports of devastatingly low, and we will find out because I do think that this Pacers-Knicks series is likely to be the most watched playoff series of this. And this has been a good NBA playoffs. You say what you want, it's been a good NBA playoffs. I think this Pacers-Knicks series is going to be the most viewed series of these playoffs, and that includes maybe be more viewed than the NBA Finals. We'll see who's in it and how they get there. But I do think the NBA does not have, in terms of ratio of growth to other sports and their ratings, I do not think it has the ratings that the NBA necessarily wants, which is a large part of the whole Luka Doncic and then Dallas wins the number one overall pick conspiracy theory that, honestly to me, as an anti-conspiracy theory guy, has kind of got some weight to it, right? The NBA does not embrace, whether you think they have to or they do not, or they should or they shouldn't, they do not embrace player v player rivalries. And I know that because in all of the Knicks-Pacers stuff that we are going to see over the next couple of days as the NBA gets its conference finals series fired up, Knicks and the Pacers, as we just mentioned, tremendous history, take it back to the Reggie Miller Spike Lee days back in the day. Hell, you don't even take it back to this rivalry. Tyrese and Jalen Brunson, they bumped each other in the playoffs before it. It's gotten a little heated. These two dudes, I do not think have a personal rivalry against each other the way that, and I am going to say it the way that it is to me, Angel Reese has with Caitlin Clark.
Okay, so you said Jalen Brunson and Haliburton don't. So it's all a WWE thing. It's all contrived.
I think that played off of it. I think that was probably signed off on by the league because, hey, what a way to get a rivalry, and you send it one.
Oh, no, Triple H said, just like we wrote it, or something like that, is what he
threw
up on Twitter.
Listen,
yeah.
He's at the end of the day, professional wrestling, whether you like it or not, it's a carny activity. You inject yourself wherever you can. It's a carny activity. So you had this showdown with them in the wrestling ring, whatever. On the court, these guys have been butting heads for a couple of years now. And while I do not think that there is the I hate you personal vendetta that honestly, again, Angel has towards Caitlin. I don't think Caitlin reciprocates that. But it doesn't matter. If one side of the two biggest names in the sport, whether they should be or shouldn't be, but they are, hates the other side and they're getting after it like that, it's television drama. The NBA does not lean into that. And I absolutely agree with Diesel on that take. Diesel asked at the end of it, though, is the NBA now a softer league than the WNBA? And my answer is the easy way out of it is to go, guys, it's a different league. It's a different league. And it is, although it is the same sport, it's a different version of the sport. And joining the WNBA as a fan is embracing the fact that it's a different kind of basketball. No, it is not as fast or high flying, but it is for me. I'll tell you right now, if I'm coaching a young team how to play basketball, you're going to judge me. Trust me. I will show them film on the WNBA. Why? Because that is how you play foundational, fundamental basketball that matters. Your sets matter. Not everybody can just go win a bunch of one-on-one battles. I was watching a clip the other day from Gilbert Arenas on his pod where he was talking about Kobe Bryant. And he said, do you know why Kobe Bryant has so many moves? You know why he's known for his ability to be shifty and move with the basketball? Because he wasn't athletic enough to just drive by a guy, to just beat that guy in one move. So a lot of point guards can. Kobe Bryant could not. He could not beat a guy on a move. And then they talked about Kobe in a way that I do not think was intended to be disparaging, but almost came across that way, as if having to make moves, having to learn, practice, and then flawlessly execute against the highest level of professional basketball player moves as a ball handler is bad. They were like, oh, you know, he had to make moves because he wasn't athletic. And I was able to make moves. I didn't have to make moves. I was able to beat you on the first step. It's like, why is it bad? Why would you not teach? There are very few guys who can go to the NBA and just be, I'm beating you to the basket guys. Like, you got to learn how to play basketball at WNBA. So, my response to Diesel in his sports flash there would be, yes, the WNBA and the NBA are the same sport, and they are the highest level of their version of the sport, but it is fundamentally different. But second, let's keep it a buck. You and I both know that right now the WNBA is on a verge. It has got the Caitlin Clark effect that is rolled over from last year. It has got, obviously, whether you like her or you dislike her, much like a heel in pro wrestling, because everything's pro wrestling. Angel Reese is somebody people tune in to see. Even if it's to watch her fail, they tune in. They got that. They added Paige Beckers this year, who became an icon of women's college basketball. They added Haley Van Lith, who played for 19 different colleges before she got to the WNBA. People tune in to watch her. Maybe not as many tune in to watch, Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson, but people, including new fans, are tuning in. The WNBA doesn't have a choice but to embrace those rivalries, because those rivalries are probably generating about half of the people that are watching. The NBA wants it to be team-oriented because for years, it has not been team-oriented. And as we have a demographic shift in basketball, guys who are individual basketball player watchers, guys, I'm just tuning in to watch LeBron. I'm just tuning in to watch Brunson, Halliburton, whatever. There's fewer and fewer of those people. People are kind of getting to the point now where we're going back to, because everything's a pendulum, going back to, I want a good team. I want to watch a good team play. If I got a star, great. If I don't, whatever. I want to watch a good team play. The NBA, for years, embraced a superstars first, good teams second mentality. And with the rise of the Lakers, with the rise of the Knicks, with the rise of the Bucks, with the rise of the Timberwolves, with the rise of the Suns, with the rise of these teams that are teams, not one star driven squads, they are seeing that they're bringing the ratings to the table. So now it's a team oriented sport, whereas the WNBA is riding those personal rivalries to get the viewers. The NBA is trying to say, hey, we got good team basketball here, which is why they don't embrace the personal rivalries any longer. I like that topic from Diesel, though. That's a good take. I like that. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
So, let's get to this very quickly before we get up out of here for the day. There are classic rivalries in the landscape of collegiate football. There are rivalries that transcend even the new age of college football. There are rivalries that are bigger than the game.
When did the new age start?
Most people, I think, would say the transfer portal.
Okay. I didn't know if you meant like when playoff.
No.
All right.
I think when I say new age, like the playoff era, I will refer to as the playoff era. Everything post portal / NIL, I think, is what I refer to as the new era of college football. There are some rivalries that are bigger than the game itself. Ohio State, Michigan, the rivalry. The Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. These are rivalries that are bigger than the game. They are, if you were going to explain the game to someone who maybe didn't get it, you would show them clips and footage from historic versions of those rivalries. I think that Notre Dame USC, I think, is on that list. And again, a lot of these are going to be regional specific. What's the best rivalry in sports? 100% going to depend on where you are when you ask the question, right? So I think USC Notre Dame is one of those classic college football rivalries that, while it does not always produce a matchup between two teams contending to make it to a national championship game, the history and the legacy of the two teams involved in that rivalry make it one of the great rivalries of college football. The 2025 edition of Notre Dame versus USC is the last currently contracted game between the two schools. Now, Notre Dame Fighting Irish Athletic Director Pete Bavakwa has made it clear multiple times that Notre Dame does wish to extend the series with USC. And it makes sense, as Notre Dame obviously has their arrangement with the ACC. Notre Dame just a number of days ago announced, along with Clemson, that they have signed a 12-year home and home contract, where over the next 12 years, those two schools will play every year, and they will alternate playing between South Bend, Indiana, and Clemson, South Carolina.
So that's the new rivalry then?
I think it's fair to say that. I don't know that I would say that Clemson-Notre Dame is like, you know, a blood rivalry yet. It might become one, but they've had some bangers between each other.
Oh, they absolutely have. One particular, and I'm trying to remember what year it was, in the rain.
Yep.
That was a really, really good game.
They have absolutely put on some bangers. So I'd be happy to allow Clemson-Notre Dame is a light rivalry. May increase over the next 12 years. We'll see how the games go. So Notre Dame, however, does have one thing that they must accomplish that a lot of the power conference schools, at least the ones at the top of those conferences, don't have to worry about. USC is a school that has to rely on strength of schedule, and they have to build their own strength of schedule. So even with their partnership with the ACC, which is a football conference that I think even ACC fans will have to acknowledge, the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. They still need to find a couple of out of ACC, outside of Clemson, strong games to boost up the SOS, to make themselves look better, so that they can, even if they take an L in their schedule, maybe two, make the argument. Because remember, with the 16-team expanded playoffs, which is coming, there are effectively three at-large spots. Notre Dame's going to get one of them if they're in the top 16, which means they're going to get one of them if they are any given year, and this may be flexible year to year, it may change year to year, but I would say that I feel comfortable saying any given year, if Notre Dame is 10-2, they're going to the playoffs as one of those three at-larges. They'll be at the bottom of the bracket, but they will be one of the three at-large, and they will get in. But they've got to have a strength of schedule that at 10-2, they don't get nudged just outside of the top 10 by a, let's say, 10-2 middle-of-the-pack SEC school that goes, wait a minute, our strength of schedule is 28 points higher than Notre Dame. So same record, and we played in a tough conference all year long. Notre Dame played the ACC and Toledo, right? So they want to add USC back. But right now, USC, while not saying no, is not saying yes to renewing a rivalry game that has been played 95 times. Times dating back to 1924. USC and Notre Dame have played every year with the exception of four. They missed three of them during World War II. That is what we in the professional world would call an excused absence. And they did not play the COVID year, which most out-of-conference games did not happen during that year. Not on them. So, since 1924, these teams have played every year with the exception of thrice during freaking World War II and COVID. It took a world war and a worldwide pandemic for these teams not to play each other. And now USC, again, they're not saying no, but Notre Dame has advanced the contract, and they are saying not right now. We're not signing it as of yet because USC has a couple of things going on. Number one is, obviously, they have increased their schedule by joining the Big Ten. It's a better schedule now. Because even when they left, and it still was the Pac-12, the Pac-12 consisted of Oregon, USC, an okay Oregon State, once in a blue moon, okay Stanford, a Cal team that could pull an upset every now and then. Like, it wasn't a good conference. It was historic, had a lot of legacy, but it wasn't a good conference. The Big Ten's a better conference, and now USC's over there. So USC's looking at this, and they're going, well, you know, we got a tough conference schedule now. And oh, by the way, the Big Ten and the SEC are 1,000% going to 9-game conference schedules. So now 9 of those are conference schedules. You have the UCLA game that you're going to play every year. That is 9 Big Ten games. The UCLA rivalry game, that now leaves you with 2 spots on a 12-game schedule to fill up every year. If they sign a contract with Notre Dame, that means one of those 2 spots is going to be eaten up by one of the best football programs, if not football teams every year, one of the best football programs in America, one of the most resource-laden football programs in America, and they would have to play them every year along with a crosstown rival in UCLA who takes great pride in ruining the season for the Trojans every year, and a 10-game Big Ten schedule, meaning that they would have room effectively to play at the maximum, one bad cushion pillow team per year, right? Like one bad cushion pillow team per year, one FCS squad per year. I don't think a lot of coaches are going to want to get in on that. Number 2, you are also, if you accept the Notre Dame game, making your schedule even more difficult when your conference, yep, it is going to end up with 4 auto bids, but there's 4 good teams already there, right? Now you are another good team. And you got Oregon up there, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Penn State. Like, there's not much room for error if you want an auto bid. And playing one cushion team, 10 good teams, and UCLA, who loves to beat you because that's a rival, that's a tough spot. The point that I'm making here is, for those of you who have said that, oh, NIL and the portal and all that are going to kill tradition in college football, nay, nay, my dear friends. It is conference expansion and the never-ending quest for more money that is going to kill tradition in college football. Here it is happening in real time.
Yeah, but if a smarter move would be to continue with Notre Dame because first of all, the notoriety, they are ranked most of the time. So if you beat Notre Dame and you beat a couple of the top-heavy teams in the Big Ten, you're probably number one. If you want to have a gimme in there, okay, fine. You already got that if you play like Maryland or someone. So, I think they should keep playing them.
I mean, I do because it's a great rivalry that, again, has been played all but 4 years since
1924. And plus, if you're going to get back to where you once were, playing a team like Notre Dame and beating them helps you achieve that goal.
No. Okay, so I want to respond to a couple of things there. Number one, you said, well, if you beat a handful of good Big Ten teams and you knock off Notre Dame, you're there. 4 automatic bids. If you beat the best teams in the Big Ten, you're just going to the playoffs. You don't need Notre Dame. Just win the Big Ten or be in the top 4 of it. So I got to play 9 Big Ten games, which if I go 9-0, I'm going to the playoffs. Who the hell cares if I play Notre Dame? Why would I play Notre Dame? And the reality here is
to be number one, it would help you secure a spot at the top. You're right, and the 4 they should get in, but still, if you can beat all those, wouldn't you rather be number one? And let's say it's close about being ranked number one, and they look at strength of schedule, and you got some gimme on there, that hurts you. But if you got a victory over Notre Dame on your schedule, that helps you a great deal.
And what happens if you have a loss to Notre Dame?
Well, so they're scared? They should be scared?
No, they should be smart. You have 2 available dates.
I don't think they're ever getting back to prominence anyway, but if they were to do that, beating Notre Dame every year would help.
Well, I think they misfired on Lincoln Riley. I think we're all pretty comfortable at this point saying Lincoln Riley had some good bounces of the ball his way at Oklahoma, and he got overpaid at USC. At least I'm comfortable saying that. I think they've got all the resources and the boosters and the NIL money needed to get there. Beating Notre Dame annually, it's like nice. It's a fun college football tradition. It does not help them in the quest for a natty, and at this point, that means it does not help me in the quest to make a lot more money.
Yeah, you look like you didn't know where you were again.
No, I knew where we were today. I wasn't going to let that happen again.
I was a little concerned there. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is Xing because yesterday the New York Mets, sorry, Juan Soto and the New York Mets played on the road at Fenway Park, home of the Green Monster. Well, Juan Soto sent a monster shot out to left field that he thought was gone. So he took a little trot down to first base, except for, because the Green Monster is really, really tall, it careened off the top of the monster. It should have been a double, but he was home run trotting to first, ended up getting held up at first, and turned what should have been extra base hit into a single. The Mets were upset and have said that they will have a meeting between baseball administration and Juan Soto to maybe incentivize him to find some hustle. Because Juan Soto is not leading Major League Baseball in home runs, in which case they'd probably be like, "Yeah, it is what it is. The guy's the best hitter in the game." He's not that right now. And until he returns to that, yeah, bro, you got to play like a baseball player who's trying, because you're not giving us a return on a literal third of a $1 billion investment.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Darth Vader.
I did see Darth Vader was Xing earlier, and I have zero idea why.
All right, so the AI Darth Vader in Fortnite has been used a bunch, and some really cool stuff with Joe Hendry, and I saw one with Cody Rhodes this morning. SAG-AFTRA is suing because James Earl Jones, he did give Disney permission to use the voice, but not any other company.
I have wondered for a long time now, because there are AI voice generators. You can go on, you can type in a script, and effectively the AI listens to every recorded word of a celebrity and then replicates their voice saying whatever you want. And just about anybody can go online and find a software that will allow them to make a celebrity say whatever they want to say. I have always wondered if there will be a point where celebrities or their estates or representatives or studios like Disney, who own the rights to particular voices and sounds, will start to go after these AI companies for utilizing that. Because I'll tell you, there are going to have to be ingrained checks and balances to prevent AI usage from being taken advantage of by content creators who have to do nothing. They just steal everybody else's work and change it.
Strikes happened because of this, and things supposedly were resolved to a degree. But so this is the first time that I've seen them going after something like this.
Yeah, there was a big story, like, I don't remember if it was late last year or earlier this year, where studios were bringing background actors in, scanning them, and then digitally putting them into movies and using AI to have them act. So all they had to pay the actors for was show up, sign away the rights to your appearance, we'll give you $500, and then make a computer version of you do tens of thousands of dollars of work and not pay you for that. There's going to be a lot of litigation over this stuff.
All right, last thing is Xing is Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett is Xing because there is a picture going around of him and Joe Flacco, both at the top of their drop back, like throwing the football. Joe Flacco has the hands of a Goliath that wrap all the way around the football, and Kenny Pickett doesn't.
All right, that was from last week. This week is Xing because, according to many reports, he's the number one quarterback going into the beginning.
I wouldn't be shocked. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked by that, but I wouldn't be shocked as a motivational tool, right? Like Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, you guys want to start? You got to beat out a vet. I wouldn't be shocked if that's a motivational tool. I'll tell you right now, if you had to pick one of the three to start tomorrow, who you picking? Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel.
Well, tomorrow?
Tomorrow. You got to start him tomorrow.
Tomorrow I'm going with Flacco.
I think that's the right answer. I honestly do. I'm shocked by this, but not because it's not Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel. That's it for us. Thanks for being here. If you didn't enjoy the show, you got bad taste in radio. Come back tomorrow. We'll try again and maybe harder. We'll find out. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Thanks for listening to The Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.